meeting of the Board of Education to order on Monday, October 21st at 6 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Brando here. Heidewald.
Here.
Here.
Gracie.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Roman.
Here.
Number four, approval of the agenda.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Five, consider motion to approve consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting, September 18th, 2024. General fund vouchers, voids 107307, 107327, 107515, 107658, 107764, for a total of $1,138.76. ACHs 242500043 through 242500068 for $50,927.90. Check numbers 107730 through 107914 for $524,362.43. Wire transfers 202400010 through 202400018 for $160,607.61 for a total of $735,897.94.
Motion by Lyle.
I second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Public input. Nobody wants to say anything? Cool. All right. Number seven, correspondence recognition.
I have none at this time.
Nice. Seven, or eight reports. Personnel policy curriculum, sorry.
The policy committee met this evening before the board meeting, and we decided to bring the policies you were sent in your packet forward for approval.
All right, personnel negotiations met before the meeting tonight, and we are bringing to the board the recommendation to take a full-time paraprofessional position and split it into two part-time positions, and also to add a four-hour custodial position. All right, administrative reports.
No student council.
We'll skip number one. Number two, Mrs. Robinson.
All right. To go along with the policy update, there are a number of technical corrections. These corrections are things like grammar updates. The wording in them does not change the spirit of the policy. There are ones where a different policy or an administrative guideline is referenced in them, and it was referenced with just a number. Now they put the name of the guideline or the policy in there. So I do have to just let you know which ones are up for technical corrections. So the policies that have technical corrections with this update is policy 0100, definitions, 0143.1, public expression of board members, policy 0152, officers, 2270, religion in the curriculum, 2416, student privacy and parental access to information, 2522, library media centers, 3112, board staff communications, 3213, student supervision and welfare. At the 3000 level is professional staff, so professional staff, student supervision, 3216, professional staff dress and appearance, 3231, outside activities of professional staff, 4112 is board staff communication. The 4000 level is support staff. So then 4213, student supervision and welfare, that's by support staff. Policy 4216, support staff dress and appearance, 4231, outside activities of support staff, 4440, job related expenses, policy 5605, suspension, expulsion of a student with disabilities, and finally policy 8390, animals on district property. Along with that, last week on Monday, I held the first of the two community meetings. I feel like we had a pretty good turnout. There wasn't a ton of people, but the ones that were there were a great audience, asked a lot of questions, especially in reference to their tax bills and what that does. Town of Stevenson was reassessed, so they literally brought their tax bills. We had Clint from Bray gave the, and I kind of gave the presentation, and then at the last part with the tax impact, Brian Brewer from Baird was there, who is a whiz when it comes to that stuff and was able to answer all those questions. So I felt like it went really well. We have the second one tomorrow evening, 5:30 at the elementary cafeteria, where it's the same exact presentation. And then this is my reminder for all of you, because we don't have a board meeting again, to vote on November 5th. This, obviously, referendum is on the ballot, and more than likely will be on the back. I know for the Village of Cribbets, for sure, it is on the back of the ballot. For Lake, too. So more than likely, it's on the back of the ballot. So if you do vote, please make sure you flip it over. And then one last community ed update from me, and then I'm out of it. Flag football is now completed. They had practices and then two scrimmages, which were hilarious to watch. Tackle football is done now, too. They this year, the youth tackle football, the area schools made a conference, and they had a playoffs where the top four teams went all the way through a championship, and our 5th and 6th grade team were conference champions. And then one last update, our middle high school art teacher, Carrie Klitsky, is again, she's offered them in the past different art classes, and she's doing some type of print stamp thing making class coming up in October, so the registrations are out. So just kind of keeping community ed going. And that's that.
All right, thanks. Mr. Bauman.
First of all, parent-teacher conferences were held on Wednesday, October 9th from 4 to 7:30, and on Wednesday, October 16th from 1:30 to 6. The conferences on the 9th were well attended at the middle high school. Numbers were down a little bit last week overall. I'd like to recognize all the fall sports teams as they basically all have finished their seasons, regular seasons. Mr. Anderson and the cross-country team earned their first conference championship this year, so that was terrific for them. They'll be competing in sectionals on Saturday. Congratulations goes out to Mrs. Myers and the volleyball coaches, as the teams did a great job this year. Varsity finished in a tie for second place. They're playing tomorrow night in their first regional game at home against Hurley. Congratulations to Mr. Vernier and his staff for a very exciting football season. They finished in third place in the conference. They'll be playing in the Level 1 playoffs on Friday at home against Oshkosh Lords. Not to leave the middle school teams out, the football team won one loss, or was it one tie?
One tie.
I actually refereed a couple of their games. They were very good this year. So congrats to Zach Franzmeier, Ray and Seth Celine, and the middle school football players. The volleyball team finished up, the middle school volleyball teams. So congratulations goes out to Vanessa Lisi and Natalie Schrader for fine seasons at the middle school volleyball level as well. I was at a lot of eighth grade games because my stepdaughter. I wasn't sure what the seventh grade record was.
Do one and not the other.
What's that?
They said do one and not the other.
Yeah, I didn't want to be a partial year, so. And last, congratulations goes out to Isaac Gerner, Karen Tracy, James Kane, Madeline Heidewald, and Marley Myers for winning the High School Students of the Month Award for the month of September. Congratulations also goes out to Zaya Martin and Kaylee Dorschner, Gavin Pomeroy, and Sadie Kalis for being recipients at the middle school level. Also, congratulations goes out to Austin Kaminsky, Ivy Pettit, Isabel Danielsack, and Gavin Pomeroy for being chosen September's Lunch Bunch students in grades 7 through 12. This award recognizes personality and helpfulness as well as academics. They received a free cousin's lunch, and best, right, Gavin, was that you got to eat with the principal, the superintendent, and Kayla, board member. Wasn't that terrific? That's probably the greatest prize of all. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Mrs. Damon.
excited to announce that in November we are starting a reading tutor program. So far we have 10 community members signed up to read weekly with more than 35 different students. Most of our volunteers are members of the Kravitz Area Women's Club. If you know of someone who might be interested in reading with kids, please encourage them to reach out to me. Planning for the Veterans Day program is underway. This year the program will be at the elementary school and we are excited to be hosting. I've been working with Larry Lumberg to plan the event. And at the end of September, we completed our fall MAP testing. The results will help us to determine students who may need additional support in reading or math. That also gives us a baseline number for each student so we can measure growth throughout the school year.
All right, thank you, Mr. White.
Although the new boiler finally arrived at the elementary school and it is in place, work was halted on the installation due to a shipment of the wrong exhaust pipe fittings. So we'll just keep running into one problem after another, but eventually we'll get it going. The correct fitting should arrive by the end of the week and work will resume on Monday. Our maintenance crew is busy with preventative maintenance tasks, including changing HVAC filters and checking over our roof exhaust fans. One of the exhaust fans that actually vents out the fume hood in the science room failed after 24 years of service. That replacement arrived today and will be installed as time permits. Our elevator at the elementary school and our personnel lift recently received their annual inspections. Both passed with flying colors. And lastly, we recently contracted with Century Fence to install a large gate in the fence of our baseball field. This gate will allow us to bring in our 16-foot wide game mower, which will hopefully save us hours of mowing. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Mr. Schramm.
Good evening. Due to the broadband expansion initiatives occurring all over the state, you've probably noticed several fiber installation contractors working along Oak Street and Hall Ave over the last few months. When I first saw the vans, vehicles parked along the road out there, I never crossed my fingers so hard, praying that they did not cut the fiber for internet access. Of course, the contractors cut through our fiber cabling in two separate spots along Hall Ave across from Pepin Dentistry when installing those new lines at the end of September. We were without internet access for approximately 7 days. The outage was a bit longer than expected as one of the cuts was close to a gas line, so the repair crew had to wait for Wisconsin Public Service to arrive on site first. Fortunately, we have a backup internet connection. Even with the outage, we could perform daily operations as usual without anyone even knowing that our internet connection was down. With state reporting deadlines around the corner, I've been busy working with the administrative assistants to ensure that our systems properly report and upload data to the Department of Public Instruction. Every year, there are typically a number of reporting requirement changes from DPI that we must implement to ensure we are error-free before the deadlines. And lastly, as I mentioned some time ago, Blackboard, who currently hosts our website, has been purchased by Finalsite, which is another website platform company. So they're phasing out our current site. In a nutshell, this involves completely building a new website from scratch based on theme templates. I attended a meeting with our account rep on Friday, October 4th to discuss and construct a tentative timeline. Our new client intake documentation has been completed and submitted to Finalsite so they can complete the back end and background steps needed so I can access the site to begin designing and preparing our new site. While I wait word that our new framework is ready, I'm working through the training sessions to begin working as soon as possible as a new site will take quite some time to construct. That's all I have.
Awesome, thank you. All right, information, discussion, board committee appointments.
All right, with the resignation of Mike Freibald and now the addition of Sarah Roman being officially on the board, the board may discuss committee appointments. It's just a consensus determination, so it's not on the action items, but you have in your packet, whether electronic or paper, you have a copy of the current committee appointments, which include Mike Freibald. And so, yeah, we can... You guys can discuss who's on what committees and who wants to be where.
So, Sarah, you want to be on personnel? Or building and grounds?
Well, if you're asking my interests. I was thinking policy and buildings. But I'll take
policy and curriculum, or policy and buildings, did you say?
Building and grounds.
Policy, curriculum, and buildings.
And buildings are the two that you're interested in? Okay.
So we
the
can
building
put
grounds
her, we
is
can put her
easy.
On building grounds.
Yep.
I don't think Lyle will kick about not having to be Kim, do you want to stay on personnel?
You can put me wherever you want.
Okay, so we'll put you on personnel and take you off policy.
Sure.
Does that work?
Yep.
All right.
Put Sarah on policy then in Kim's spot?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yep. And Lyle, if you really want to be on building and grounds, you can on my spot.
No, that's okay. That's just fine.
I don't need two.
No.
It won't be sad. I promise. All right. That was easy. The 2024-2025 tax levy.
All right, the annual property valuations are complete and the third Friday student count and its impact on the school district's revenue limit is set. As a result, the school district's tax levy can be set. The 2024-2025 tax levy is in the amount of $7,242,183. The budget, the revenue limit worksheet, and the township levy amount sheets are included in your board packet. There are two of them. Which we'll explain the second one with the next agenda item. But the first one is that it has the budget with the updated numbers, because when we do the budget in August, we have to estimate what our tax levy will be. That does not come out until October 15th. So now Sarah updates that with the levy amount, because we're going to referendum. We still don't know exactly what it is, but we know what it is without the referendum. So she does all that work. Revenue limit worksheet is something that's put out by DPI, mostly filled out with some things that we do, like we add in the $30,000 that we levy for the community ed position. Sarah, anything else? I mean, in that packet, just because I can, and we have a nice long, a big audience that has to listen. You can see there's a historical rundown there of what the equalized value was and what the overall levy amount has been. You can see that the levy amount until last year, where the state legislature upped the low amount, which is where we are, by $1,000 per student, which is a huge increase. We were consistently going down with our mill rate. It went up last year from 2022 was $4.80. Last year, because of that big increase by the state legislature, it went up to $5.16. Because the values are increasing, we have enrollment went down slightly, more so because of what summer school can count, but mill rate without referendum is down to $4.47. State average is $7 and something. I mean, we're like $3. I mean, we're 50% almost of what the state average in mill rates are. So, you can just see that historical data there. And then that overall equalized value, that tax levy gets split up between the six, I always say five, but it's actually six municipalities. That our district covers. So we send that amount of what they have to collect for us to each municipality. They spread it out to all the taxpayers, so based on their home values. So anything, Sarah, that I missed or misrepresented or anything? Okay.
Questions? No? All right. Repeat.
All right. So with, again, these documents are due end
November
of, 4th. What, November 4th, the day before the election. We have to give these to DPI. So we do that without the referendum. The next day, the referendum goes before our voters. So if the referendum passes, we have to resend it to the state with the updated numbers, and then by the end of the day, we're sending it out to all different places, or by the end of the week, excuse me. So in order to be ready for that, we have to have the same revenue limit worksheet done as if the referendum passes, because the board has to approve it. So we have the one without the referendum, we have the one with the referendum. That way we're covered. Day after the election, we know what we have to send out, if we have to update it or not. So if you look at the revenue limit worksheet, the change in there is on what line? Where our mill rate is.
Second page.
On the bottom. sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah. The very last line. So again, our mill rate was on that first revenue limit worksheet was $4.47. The tax impact of the referendum is $1.33, which is actually a percentage, but so the levy rate at the very bottom of that page, right above the red, is 580 instead of the 447, because it has increased that dollar, that 133. So that is the change, which then obviously brings up the amount of tax that is levied to the $9,396,183 for that one. So we change that mill rate to up it in case the referendum passes. This only gets sent into the state if the referendum actually passes. Questions on the contingent tax levy?
Good. Kayla?
Mm-hmm. I put that packet away too soon.
The 2024-2025 budget revisions.
All right, Sarah Jones will present the budget revision for the 24-25 district budget. The revision is necessary to bring the budget approved at the annual meeting, which I talked about, that happens in August, into agreement with the actual revenue limit amount determined by that final property valuation, which is set that October 15th date, which is why this meeting gets moved every year. Again, she did the budget revision based on what we have without the referendum. If the referendum passes, she'll just do it all over again. So yeah, I don't know, Sarah, if you want to talk about the budget revision.
Sure. So with the revenue or the certification coming in, our property taxes is going to be at $7,242,183. So again, if the referendum does pass, that will all change. I'll end up bringing another budget revision at one point, but that won't be until we know if it's going to pass or not. And then also depends on when we go to get, if it does pass, when we go to get the bonds and stuff like that. So it'll all be contingent on that. But in the end, the net change in the fund balance is going to be $723,592 negative.
That's anticipated. I mean, right. Again, last year was about 600,000, and it actually changed 100 or less than 100, 94,000,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so when all is said and done,
we budget what we expect, what it could be, and then it usually comes in less than that. So.
Okay.
It'll depend on if the referendum passes or not. So, all
right.
Questions on the budget? Okay.
E, appoint a delegate to and alternate to WASB convention.
I'll appoint this.
That was an adjournment.
Uh-huh. Alternate?
That I don't know if I'm going to go on.
Okay, and that was the other question is who on the board is planning on going to the convention. It is January 22nd through the 24th.
I just don't know if I can yet.
Okay.
If you could possibly know before December 15th, that's our early bird deadline.
Okay.
Because otherwise the registration cost goes up.
I will.
We've got
schools reserved
already. So, yeah, if before December 15th would be the good timeline for me.
Okay.
It just saves us a little bit of money in registration. You can register right up to the very, like, 2 or 3 days before, if that's the case.
Okay.
No, we can't just do that.
Anybody else know that they're going besides Chris? Okay, well, we can.
Chris, they didn't ask you. Are you going?
Yeah. I think they told you that you're going.
It's called voluntold.
Oh, for the new ones, I know it is with work and stuff. It is hard because it's a Wednesday to Friday, and actually we go down on Tuesday because it starts first thing on Wednesday, and sometimes there's some things on Tuesday night, but it's very informative. You get a lot out of the convention. It's good. It's very well put on. So if you have the opportunity to go, I would recommend it. I have gone just the 2 years, and I learned something. I learned a lot, actually, every single time I've gone. So it is in Milwaukee. And we have a hotel within walking distance, not the ones that we've wanted, but, you know, every year that happens. Those hotel rooms book really quickly.
I think this one still has a skywalk, though.
Mm-hmm. Do we?
Yeah. It's not the one from last year, but it's the other way. So.
Okay. And they have all sorts of keynote speakers who are very good.
Yep.
And if you go on the WSB site, at any point now it should have the booklet in there that you can look at, and it'll tell you what they have, pull-out sessions that mm-hmm. you can pick from. And there's
and
a lot.
I did include the link, so hopefully
okay.
it'll update soon.
Yeah, it should be soon.
At least it had the...
So can we do the alternate at the next meeting when people are more sure of whether they're mm-hmm. going or not?
Yep. Yep. Okay. We will do that.
Since
can
we're
you
all...
be that?
No. No, ma'am. I'm not on the board. I cannot be the alternate.
All right, F, special education paraprofessional position.
All right, we are asking the board to split a full-time special education paraprofessional position into two part-time positions. The two positions will be 28 hours per week, and so they are not benefit eligible. The interviews were done for that one. We had a full-time special education paraprofessional resign and wanted more flexibility. She's doing more of a substitute role. And so that full-time position was put out, was posted, and interviews were done. Cam can probably actually speak to this better, but I'll try to sum it up. But interviews were done. The top two candidates were both really good. Both of them were interested, not really necessarily looking for full-time, so they applied for that position. But so it was talked about splitting that position into two part-time positions. We actually get more coverage of student time that way for a very similar cost because it doesn't offer the benefits. So both people that were those top two candidates were amicable to that. They were willing and ready to do that. So what we're asking the board to do is take one full-time special education paraprofessional position and split it into two part-time positions. They'll both be 28 hours. So again, it's more coverage. 56 hours of coverage versus 37 and a half to 40 hours of coverage, and for a similar cost.
Questions? All right. G, custodial position.
One second. Tom?
No. Oh.
Do you want to text
sure.
Clint? Will you text Clint, see if he's available? I don't know. We told him that we'd give him a little bit of an update before, or like a when he's going to be up.
Oh, a heads up.
A heads up. I don't know if he's going to be able to get on. He had another meeting, but
a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
5 to 10. Okay, custodial position. So we have one custodial position where our custodian is on unpaid leave for the unforeseen future. We don't know how long that will last. It's not up to us. It's extenuating circumstances. So we would like to add a 4.5 hour evening custodial position. And then if or when the time comes that custodian can come back, or however it works out, if at that point we are overstaffed, we will bring it to the board to then make a decision on the staffing position. But again, right now we're filling with a sub, someone who's subbing every day for the entire shift, has been since school started. So we'd like to just make that position, and then we'll re-examine it when the time comes.
4 hours.
It's four. Okay, I'm sorry. I looked at the absence when Tom was sick when I made that. 4 hours, not 4.5. So.
Questions? NEOLA policy updates.
I look my policies. Here they are. All right. The board is asked to approve, will be asked to approve the NEOLA policy updates as presented. I'm ahead of myself. All right. Well, NEOLA policies are in your board packet. The first two pages are an overview of all the policy updates. We went over it in the policy committee meeting. Does anybody have any questions on the policies that were in there, or what? Again, most of them are pretty straightforward. It's keeping them in line with current policy and practice, but the NEOLA policy writers, which are lawyers. You know, there's updated statutes, things like that. So some changes in wording and things along those lines. But
The committee didn't have any issues?
Nope.
Okay. No. Anybody questions? All right, referendum update.
Did he get back to you?
I got a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let's see if we can get our friend Clint on the big screen.
You thought you had internet back. Surprise.
And he said nobody could tell.
I remember the last time that was cut. We didn't have a backup.
I
know.
It was a
little bit.
Well, now it's
flawed. There was no. Elementary school had
like dialogue. Not quite as bad, but it's in there. It's a bit
like. All right, we'll go to Quiz Bowl trip and then we'll go back. We'll approve the Quiz Bowl trip, or talk about the Quiz Bowl trip. Chop, chop here. All right, Jay. Quiz Bowl trip.
Oh my God.
I could try to pull it up on my laptop, I guess, too. Quiz Bowl trip. Quiz Bowl team is seeking permission to attend an out-of-state competition. They would like to go to Michigan Tech in Houghton, Michigan on November 9th. This will not be an overnight trip. It is just an out-of-state trip, which is why they require
approval,
board approval.
Questions?
You got it? It just looks like something's right. Is he in there? If he's not in, it doesn't really matter. It didn't look like he wasn't when I was looking at it.
You just have Tom tell him, never mind.
Yeah. Do you want to ask him if he's in?
I told him we have technical difficulties.
Okay. Okay. Otherwise, again, I can pull it up on my laptop.
And just do video. I mean, audio.
This time.
There we go. He's on the desktop.
Clint is on there. Or I guess you could just do it on that screen is bigger than mine.
Maybe you should let some of the kids try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it.
Work at home like that.
There you go.
Yay! You want to just make sure our volume's good? Can you hear us, Clint?
Obviously not.
We don't have a microphone either, a camera, but.
Oh?
Can you hear us, Clint? No?
Can you hear us?
No sound?
No, we can't hear him either.
Clint?
We can't hear
him. Are you muted?
He must be able to hear you.
Did you start this, Kelly?
Yeah, on there. No, I did. No. He asked if we could hear him.
No.
Jesus. What? There?
Can you hear us? No. Technical difficulty over technical difficulty.
Oh, it's on headphones for speaker.
Yeah, it's on headphones.
Can you hear us now, Clint? Still no.
Obviously not.
Do you want me to jump on with my laptop?
I can hear you.
I can hear him typing.
Text. Text him and ask him to speak.
Just type really fast.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Kelly's telling me I'm a loud typer, I guess.
Can you hear us?
I cannot hear you, though.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
We just need to hear him.
Should we just tell him to go?
Yeah, just tell him go, and we can type in questions if we need to.
Alright, well, good evening, everyone. Again, we're in the midst of our informational campaign for the referendum coming up, and I believe Kelly's been giving you updates, and it's been very nice to see the turnout that we've had and really positive discussion. Tonight, I am kind of shifting gears a little bit. If you recall, when we started this process, we talked a little bit about bringing a construction management company online as part of this process at some point. So tonight, I am going to kind of just talk through a little bit of that process that we're considering to do this. So number one, what I have up on my screen, and hopefully you can see it. Let me just confirming, can I get a thumbs up that we can see the screen? Okay. This first thing that I have up is an advertisement for bids. So this would be a document that we would send out to the Daily Reporter, which is kind of the main trade publication within the state of Wisconsin to notify companies that are seeking work. So basically this is, again, this would get sent out to the Daily Reporter. They would post this in their trade publication. And then what this would do is if someone is interested in your project, they would send us their contact information and we would mail them the RFQ document. So I'm going to transition to this document then.
I would say this one, for kind of the purposes of tonight, is kind of our meat and potatoes document. So right now, this is addressed obviously to John Doe at Acme Construction, so we would modify this to whomever shows interest. Basically, this is just stating on behalf of the school district where Architects is extending an opportunity to submit qualifications for construction management at-risk services. I'll paraphrase a little bit more. One of the things with an at-risk, it means that the construction manager, when you ultimately go to bid on the project, that they will hold all of the subcontracts and provide a single bond for your project. So again, if you ask, is that what most, or is that what all of the districts in the state do? The answer is yes. This is kind of the relationship that would exist within this. We're stating here we're competitively bidding this process of hiring the CM, so there will be fees involved a little bit later in the process. And then the other part we're stating is we're asking for qualifications only. There will not be walkthroughs or tours done at this particular time. The purpose or objectives, again, is pretty simple. We're looking for a construction management company to help us with the work that's in the November 2024 referendum, so the elementary school and tech ed spaces. This one, I think, is a really important one within the process here. If a construction manager is able to self-perform work, we are requiring that they provide competitive bids for any work. So that is a pretty, I think, a very important one in this process, is that just because you're the construction manager doesn't mean you're going to be, quote unquote, kind of given work along the way. There'd be a statement of qualifications, so contact person, company information, how much schoolwork do they do, are they able to bond for the work, number of employees, their insurance coverage. The next section down is we're looking for who we're going to be working with at their company for each of the projects, so the pre-construction phase, which will be while we're designing the project, bidding, construction, and then at the project closeout. The last piece would be what K-12 experience do you have? You know, I don't think Privets wants to be a guinea pig. I think we want somebody with a good deal of experience doing school construction. Again, here stating which self-perform work you are capable of doing and would be interested in doing. And then, again, providing a number of references for you guys to check on to make sure they're again, capable of it. I think, again, provided that all looks good, and this is a fairly standard form that we use for this RFQ process, but provided you're okay with that, I think the next section and the preliminary timeline is kind of a big one for tonight in terms of kind of understanding our process and making sure the board's kind of comfortable with kind of how this would then get sequenced. Sorry, I'm just sliding it down so it's all on one page. So our timeline is, our goal is again, if you guys are comfortable, we would like to release this document to that advertisement for bid process and potentially send it to a few select contractors tomorrow, as of tomorrow, with the goal that this would be due on November 12th. So any questions that they need to be submitting would have to happen by the 7th, and the statement for qualifications would be due after the 12th. That allows for, obviously, the referendum is on the 5th, and if the referendum passes, we obviously have a project and we'll need the statement for qualifications. If the referendum is unsuccessful, the contractors would have a little bit of time there to, you know, say, well, like, you know, we're going to choose not to submit on this. Notification of short list of construction managers. So from that 12th due date to, we're saying sometime the week of November 19th, we would take those qualifications and figure out who we would like to talk to more. And then the plan would be to interview the shortlisted folks potentially as early as December 2nd. Now, one of the things I wanted to point out tonight is the process for shortlisting the construction managers. We do that process any number of ways. very frequently. It's a the administration and Bray and maybe some additional administrative members or one or two or three board members will be part of that process. We've also done it where the full board is part of that process. So that's one thing we kind of do want to figure out tonight is the process for shortlisting and who we want to include in that. Then number two, that if we are going to interview, is that again, a smaller group of people of administration and a few board members, or is that something that we want the full board to be part of as well? We would then look to bring our approved or recommended approval on December 18th to that board meeting. And that would basically set up the timeline that the construction manager would attend their first kind of construction kickoff or design kickoff meeting the week of January 6th. So I will pause right there and if there's any questions at this time.
So again, like put this out there and construction companies that do this work can respond kind of much like when we did the facility assessment where we awarded it to Bray. We put it out there and a number can get back. We're expecting probably in the double digits. So then we shortlist them, you know, look at all of them and try to make a smaller list so we're not interviewing all of them, like the nine that we interviewed for the facility assessment. And then do the actual interviews. And so the question is, what level of involvement does the board want in that? Do we want the shortlisting process to be a board decision? Do we want it to be an administrative decision? Do we want the interviews to be a board a board activity? Or do we want it to be an admin activity? The approval goes to the full board. But, and again, within that, as Clint said, you can also do at whichever level or all levels, couple, you know, board members involved without involving the entire board. It's up to you guys for that decision. So that's kind of what we're hoping to get from you, just in a consensus on what you're thinking.
Thoughts?
I'm thinking probably one or two board members, you know. Nobody has to, everybody doesn't have to be involved because it's just going to be a big mess. You know,
I, too many cooks.
I would think a couple. Maybe
I was going to say
the short list by administration.
Building and grounds would be
buildings
fine.
And grounds.
Yeah.
So short list,
and
admin.
Interviews with just add one or two or three board members.
Interviews, buildings and grounds committee.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're probably the ones that mostly know, except
does that
you.
Work?
I don't mean not her to go, but
no. What?
I'm on building and grounds. Lyle
wouldn't
take it back.
That's why.
Oh, you're not on
so that's why he's like, yeah, building and grounds sounds
really
good.
Yeah,
okay,
thanks.
and then thanks, obviously guys. from those interviews, the building and grounds committee comes to the full board
with a
recommendation for the board approval.
Okay, that works.
Yep.
Again, you know, we get this out there now. If the referendum doesn't pass, it's kind of a moot point. But at least it gives the contractors enough time to get going on working on this versus if we don't put it out until November 6th, if that passes, it, you know, that shortens it up, whereas it gives them extra time. So, okay.
Yep.
No questions?
No questions.
Yep.
Okay. Tom, are you texting him?
Thanks, Clint.
Okay.
He's putting it on there, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so seeing no questions, I'll continue on. So ultimately, the request for qualifications will be submitted. We're asking for 10 copies as well as an electronic version, and those will get sent. Right now, I'm showing them directly going to Tom, and again, they're due on November 12th at 2 o'clock. Again, we're stating then you would likely interview as early as December 2nd. This next portion down, and I can zoom in a little bit, this is just for, again, for consideration. As far as I believe this would be represent a number of construction managers slash general contractors that would be interested in the project. Just for a bit of reference, we went through this similar process recently in Pulaski as well as Rhinelander. So a number of these companies, again, showed interest in the project and or submitted. So C.D. Smith, C.G. Schmidt, Findorf, IEI, IMO, J.P. Cullen, Myron, Scherer, and Zizey Construction. These would be ones I, if the board is comfortable, I would basically just send, again, the RFQ out to them already. I have talked to a few of these already to see if there is interest in the project, and a number of them are already interested. And did ask me to send it to them. So really what we would do, and it would be twofold, is both we would post this in the Daily Reporter, basically to your general construction community, and then send, again, I think send the proposals ahead of time to those that we believe would be interested in the project. So I'm happy if the board wants me to remove any of these, or if there's others you think might be interested. To sort of fit the parameters of doing, you know, schoolwork and being able to bond for a project of the size that you have, might rule out, you know, some of the smaller local companies that would, you know, might not be able to serve as a general contractor, obviously, or a construction manager. Obviously, if we get more into the project, there might be opportunities for them to do, you know, to still bid on the work. This doesn't, again, allow or discredit that.
Does anybody have any?
So maybe just pausing there. Is there any thoughts or feelings on this list?
He asked me that ahead of time too, and I was like,
yeah, no. I would say it should be fine. Yeah, 60-70% of them are all pretty decent. So
yeah, we're good.
We're good with that list.
Then the last piece, this would be then a document that we would send to organizations that we plan to interview. So again, once we get to that point in time, we can kind of further refine this. But this again basically outlines that on someday in, you know, I think we're thinking in December, I still have this sort of in very rough form, that we would be interviewing. I usually recommend no more than three. When you do four or more, it gets to be a lot, but again, we would send this out, and this would sort of outline what the interview process would be, what questions we have for them, and kind of the format for their overall portion. The other piece within the when we get to the interview process, we will ask them to provide fee proposals at that time, and we have kind of a standard form that we send out so that we get the fees in kind of an apples to apples comparison. Otherwise, if you just ask them to submit fees, you'll be comparing an apple and orange in a refrigerator. They're very, very different. And we've had very good success with using kind of a spreadsheet to have them refine their fees and have them all provide them consistently. Again, this process would happen after we get those submittals. So any questions about that?
Nope. Let me just talk for everybody. No.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess just maybe final thing then, we're all good to send this out tomorrow and kind of get the process rolling and then look to get our submittals on November 12th.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Tell them see you tomorrow.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anything else for me? Otherwise, have a good evening. And thank you for accommodating this.
He's coming for the community session tomorrow. He will be in Crivets tomorrow. Plus, I think we have a virtual meeting with him earlier in the day, so I will be seeing him tomorrow.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot.
All right. Let's go to item scheduled for action, a special education paraprofessional position.
Board is asked to approve changing one full-time special education paraprofessional position to two part-time positions.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Resignations.
Special education paraprofessional Nicole Hart has tendered her resignation.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Appointments. Community ed supervisor.
Stephanie Langer is recommended for approval as a community education supervisor.
I make a motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And no, you can't vote. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. 4K paraprofessional.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say your last name wrong. Brianna Bevier? Or Bevier. Okay, like I heard it both ways, and I don't know how that's right, but Brianna Bevier is recommended for approval as a 4K paraprofessional. Her application is included in the blue packet, and then it was uploaded into the virtual packet also.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number three, part-time special education paraprofessionals.
Amber Zielinski and Marie Oninski are recommended as the two part-time special education paraprofessionals.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion by Kayla, seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number four, volunteers and chaperones.
List of volunteers and chaperones is included in your packet. You may choose to approve them individually or as a whole list.
I'll make a motion to approve the list of volunteers and chaperones.
Motion by Lyle. Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. D, certify 2024-2025 tax levy.
Board is asked to certify the 2024-2025 tax levy in the amount of $7,218,820.
I make that motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. E, certify 2024-2025 tax levy contingent version.
Board is asked to certify the 2024-2025 tax levy contingent version, like how you put that, which is in the amount of $9,396,183.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. F, 2024-2025 budget revision.
Board is asked to approve the budget revisions as presented earlier in the meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. G, appoint delegate and alternate to WASB convention, or just the delegate.
Right. Board is asked to appoint a delegate to the WASB convention.
I make a motion to appoint Chris as delegate.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Second by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
I abstain.
Motion carried. H, NEOLA policy updates.
Board is asked to accept the NEOLA policy updates as presented earlier in the meeting.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. I, custodial position.
Board is asked to add a part-time custodial position.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. J, spring 2025 Start College Now dual enrollment early college credit program classes.
Board is asked to approve the Start College Now dual enrollment and early college credit program classes list of with the number of classes and kids taking the classes is in your board packet.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Okay, Quiz Bowl trip?
Board is asked to approve the out-of-state trip for Quiz Bowl November 9th.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Sarah, seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. I need a motion to recess to executive closed session per Wisconsin statute.
Hold on one second. Sarah, what was the question?
Kelly, what was the number you gave on the first referendum, without the referendum?
Without? 7,218,000, no, is that last year's number?
$7,242,183.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does that change anyone's vote?
No.
I think that number didn't get updated on my notes from last year, but it's the number in your revenue limit worksheet. Thank you, Sarah. Good catch.
All right, recess to executive closed session as per Wisconsin statute 19.85 sub 1 sub C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. Athletic director evaluation and district administrator evaluation. I need a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Sunny.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. Roll call.
Grandoff.
Yes.
Ide.
Yes.
Heidi Wald, yes. Cherry.
Yes.
Grace.
Yes.
You knew I'd do that. Hanson.
Yes.
Roman.
Yes.
All right, we are in closed session at 7:01 p.m. Kayla, no action was taken in open session or in closed session.
It's your turn.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. We're adjourned at 7:30.